Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. Today is one of my favorite shows. Any of you that listen to me on a regular basis, you really hear me say that, but I do need to tell you that today's show, A Conversations with Carol Show, really is one of my favorite shows that I do on a monthly basis. And the reason for that is there's really no specific topic. It's just us chatting, me sharing my medical intuitive skills with you, and just literally just talking about the things that are happening current times, not a lot of the research that goes with it. I love that, but this is the kind of show where we can actually get up close and personal. And you share your energy, and I'll tell you what I see and what I pick up and how it works. And so anyway, it's a favorite show of mine, and I hope that you'll enjoy it as well. All of you who are my longtime followers, thank you so much for coming every week with me and then also on my Conversations with Carol. And all of you that are new listeners, A Conversation with Carol show, we never know where it's going to go, so it's kind of like hang on to your hats and just listen to what's happening, because the beauty of this kind of work and the sharing of information is that while you may not get on the line to have me answer a question, the synchronicity is the people that are on the line, it's information that every single one of us can use. So because it is a Conversations with Carol show, then what that means is I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, or maybe you'd like a question, have a question about career, or you have a question about relationship, I invite you to call me. You can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also international callers. I have callers from all over the world that will join me on the show. All you do is, of course, dial your international code and then 877-230-3062. I'd also like to let you know that on my website, www.Reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R, pronounced Reitberger, that I actually have an audio download that is available from my June Your Health teleclass. And that particular topic is up. We're going to go back to May. And that particular topic was on asthma, and that's available for purchase. I just finished my June teleclass. My teleclasses, when I give them live, are free. And then following the teleclass, I actually have an audio and a printable PDF on the topic. And my June teleclass was on anxiety and panic disorders, and that's going to be available for purchase in the next week or so. So anyway, just check my website, www.Reitberger.com. You can keep up to date with all the things that are happening, things that I have available for downloads, and things that I have that are upcoming. I just got back from Denver, being asked to be a part of a film. It's going to be a documentary similar to The Secret or What the Bleep. What's the Bleep? And what it is it's called The Cure Is You. And the gentleman that's the creator and the producer of this particular film is really getting a lot of people who look at healing not so much from the traditional way of healing, working with doctors. Again, like me, he's not anti-medicine or anti-doctor, but he just knows that there's something more to this whole healing matrix, this paradigm shift that we're all experiencing. So he has created this movie, The Cure Is You, and Dr. Bernie Siegel and Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, myself, and many others who are kind of leading-edge thinkers as far as healing on many, many different levels and shifting our perception of each other. I was invited to be a part of it. I'm very excited. The film's supposed to be out probably fall or late fall. So all of you on the show, you're going to know this. On my website, you're going to know this. But one of the things I found really interesting when I was spending time with him in preparation for the filming itself, we were talking about words, and we were talking about words that have been used for really a long time, not only in this lifetime, but other lifetimes. And part of his perception, and I certainly agreed with it, is maybe we need to just look at words differently. And one of the first words that he said. He said, Carol, I would like to be able to change the word consciousness. And I said, well, we're going to have to do lobotomies on everybody in the world because that's a common word. But the more we talked, the more we came up with the word awareness. And Contact Talk Radio has a wonderful branding line called Consciousness in Action. And if we went and took that word consciousness and we put the word awareness, because consciousness is merely awareness on different levels, so we can see things different, but we can see it from a holistic perspective. So if we were to take Consciousness in Action, which is a wonderful branding line, and say awareness in action, what that says is consciousness is always in movement. It requires us to be involved. It requires us to be an observer and to actually take action on the awareness that we observe. And so that was one of the words. The other word that we talked about that he really wanted to just explore was the word miracles. And boy, that one really, he said he's talked to all of the different people that he's had in the film to ask him to define miracle based on their perception, because miracles are something that we all want. We, you know, a lot of times, especially when it comes to our health, we really need them. And the thing is that we do, even if we are not believers in what I call the woo-woo, but believers that there is something that is a part of us that has the ability to create miracles, then everything is possible if we believe that. So we were chatting about this, and I said, from my perspective, miracles are really the word hope. And if we really changed the word miracles, then we stop that wishful thinking around those miracles. And then when we change it to hope, then we actually create the outcome that we're looking for. So again, I know that it's semantics and everybody has their own definition. My background is in personality behavioral psychology, so I know that each personality is going to define words different. And then you take the individuality and add all of our experiences. But what if we did look at miracles as hope? And what if we did keep that hope light going? And what if we were taking the awareness that happens, that consciousness awareness that happens, and put it into action? Then we have hope in action. And one of the things I've found over the course of my 30 years of working as a medical intuitive, I can't believe I just said that, that's been that long, is that I have really found that the miraculousness associated with healing isn't because somebody has a better DNA or somebody is more attached to or connected to their intuition or anything. The thing I've found over those 30 years, the difference between the healing that is really associated with miracles, is that that person never lost hope. So when we look at words, we really have to realize that they're very, very powerful. They're energy. Whether we say them or we think them, they are still awareness or consciousness in action. They're actually the magnetic attractors. I'm working on a book that I hope to have out in the spring of next year, in 2012. It would be a perfect time. It says, the title of it is Talk Yourself to Good Health. And it lets you know that what you say, your body and your cells are listening. And if we say and use words that have low energy or negativity about them, then what do? We attract negativity, or we repeat old patterns. We experience the same old emotions. We, you know, kiss the same frogs in relationships, whatever we want to say, looking for that prince. And, you know, we could turn it around where males kiss it, looking for that princess. But the bottom line of it is words really have a lot of power. So on this line, I've been thinking about a lot. And I mean, you know, synchronicity, beauty of where it is. The reality of it is that knowing that words are very powerful, knowing that our body and our cells are listening to those words, that they're energy, and that they really are the magnetic attractors associated with the law of attraction. So I went in and I started playing with some words. And they're simple things. I mean, this isn't really, when we get into it, isn't brain surgery. And I came up with a few of these that I just want to share, and I'm going to start taking your calls. Instead of using the word can't, use the word can. Instead of using the word wish, use the word believe. Instead of using the word hard, use the word simple. Now, logic would say it would be hard and easy. But if something's hard, it isn't easy to just suddenly let it go. But being simple, if it's hard and simple, simple means that it's something that you can actually break into a little tiny bite-sized pieces, put that action in place, and if it's simple, then it's not daunting, then it's not hard. So we go hard to simple. What if we use the word, when we use the word difficult, we changed it to improve? So here's an example. I'm in a difficult relationship. Well, that just sucks us of energy, doesn't it? But what if it says, I'm improving myself in my relationship? Again, it's action. It's that hope. It's being in control. And control is not a bad word, but it's a word that has got kind of a bad connotation. What if we use the word high instead of down? I'm down on life or I'm high on life. So again, just simple semantics, simple ways of changing things. But those, the simplicity of that, changing words to where those words really have a lot of connection with you and your desire for what you want, whether it's health or relationships or quality of life, all you really have to do is take a word that you say over and over and over. Life is hard. Life is hard. Jobs are hard. People are hard. Getting along with people are hard. In my world, hard leads to hardening of the arteries. It takes the elasticity out of the blood vessels itself. Those little fine veins that we have, all those little capillaries, they become like a garden hose that's been sitting out in the sun, and they lose their flexibility, adaptability. And the next thing we know, we have cardiovascular disease. We have high blood pressure. We have the predisposition for stroke. So again, remember that your body and your cells are listening to the words that you say, but they're also listening to the words that you think. So I thought it was a fascinating thing. It sure, certainly did get my yellow brain going and thinking about different things. But I just thought, you know, it might be a value just to share that and to just have some fun and look at consciousness. What does it mean? But most important, look at the word miracles. And if miracles feel like they're daunting and they can, somebody else can do it and you can't, but you can always find your own hope. That is the greatest elixir I've ever found as a medical intuitive that keeps us going when everybody says we can't, that keeps us moving in the direction we desire. So something just to think about. I always like to provoke thought and everything. So this is a Conversations with Carol show, so let's go ahead and jump in, and let's go Jolene, line one from Chicago. Hi, hon. How can I help you?
Hi, it's Joellen from Chicago.
Oh, Joellen, my apologies, my love.
Oh,
it's right
okay.
There on my screen.
No worries. I like how you use the word awareness. I do a lot of yoga, and that's the big hype word is awareness. So I agree with you.
Well, so, thank you, honey. Always great to start the day out that way, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, a little positive energy there. So I'm working with, or should I say I noticed that my anger has gotten a little more punchy and a little short. As much work as I've been doing on it lately. And I'm wondering if this is related to, someone had said, not following my dreams or my passion. And I'm also wondering, is that tied into my lower back pain?
You know, I want to go a different direction. That's one of the things I try to do as a medical intuitive. Anger, when it surfaces, honey, whether it's mild to outright rage, where we actually, if we had admit it, we'd want to go out and just probably beat something up. Anger is a way of letting us know that something that we're thinking, saying, or doing isn't in alignment with who we are. That doesn't mean we're doing something wrong. We're just not being true to ourselves, as I call it. We're feeling compromised. And when we feel compromised, it brings a lot of fears to the surface. And those fears, because they have strong emotional charges, tend to change our direction from being authentic and true to ourselves to being what we think we should. So anger is really a very positive emotion from the standpoint that when it comes to the surface, and especially as I'm touching your energy and your personality, I can tell you that the only time anger comes to the surface, honey, is when you're frustrated and feeling trapped.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're there, honey, and anger comes up, it isn't to go in. I mean, we don't want to go out and reach out kind of like the telephone commercial and touch someone. But the reality of it is, it's a way, it's a healthy way, honest to goodness, of blowing off steam and letting that steam, that relief valve, so it doesn't fester inside, because anger could be triggered by somebody else, but if we suppress it and don't find a constructive way to work with it, what does it do? It festers inside. It builds up. It boils, doesn't it?
I let it go pretty easily. And
you do.
And when it's gone, it's gone. And
yep.
My problem is knowing how to be politically correct and know how to, when I'm in the moment of being angry, knowing how to walk over to an office and shut the door and count to 10, as opposed to being reactive, because I don't think. That's the problem, is I don't think.
Oh, well, let's shift that one also. You know, being politically correct has a lot of merit and a lot of value. But sometimes being politically correct causes us to seethe inside. And we've been told ever since we've been little children that anger, whether it's male or female, is a destructive emotion, that it's bad, and that we need to learn to contain it. The most important thing I can say to you is when you reach that point, something inside has got to be said. But one of the things is that your personality is going to naturally be reactive. The things that are going to come out of your mouth are going to be emotionally charged. You use emotional words to even just communicate under the most calm situations. So when you get into that place where you're feeling compromised, you're going to go from being mild-mannered, which you have learned to work with and to accept, to someone that is being absolutely compromised. One of the best things that you can do, it feels to me, sweetie, based on personality, is when you reach that place that this anger bubbles to the surface, the very best thing for you to do is not to worry about taking a deep breath, because I'm going to tell you, you're in a full-blown panic attack. And when you're in that, the first thing that happens with your personality, you stop breathing. So the best thing that you could do is not worry about the breathing. That's going to happen if we can get your mind from fixating and your heart from being so upset, this dynamics. Why don't you create an anger journal? Every time something comes up, make it the most beautiful piece of paper or pad or journal or pen or whatever it is. Anytime you find yourself in that situation, just write down what you're feeling. And just
after the fact, because
absolutely after the fact. I mean after the fact.
During
because
the fact, I'm not thinking. That's the thing.
Well, you, sweetie, you
people
won't.
People say, you need to think about and blah, 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 and you need to do this. It's like, I know what I need to do. It's when I'm in the thick of it, it's my mind turns blank and it becomes reactive and it becomes...
Well, it will, honey. It will. If I'm going to go in and say to you that you need to think in the heat of the moment... Honey, I'm going to have to take your heart out because your feelings have been hurt. Something has compromised you. You are going to react. And if you react, the things that are going to come out of your mouth are going to be very reactionary. That's how you're... But what you're saying, sweetie, is you're saying to people, back off. Let me have my space to think. That's what your anger is. It's saying you're pressing me to go in and to ask you to think about things in the heat of the moment when you've got adrenaline, corticosteroid, cortisol, all of these hormones running in your body. I mean, I can't even do that to you, hun, because all I do is compound the problem.
Is this related to my lower back problem?
Absolutely it is, because what you're doing is instead of, you know, just saying, okay, doggone it, I'm angry and it's going to come out and maybe it's not going to be politically correct. And, you know, if that four-letter word slips out and it's not love, that is somebody's cue and clue. You've reached a brick wall, sweetie. Now, I understand at work we can't do that, but sometimes it does slip out. So what it's saying is in that heat of the moment, you are saying to someone, back off so I can breathe, back off so I can get back in my body, back off so I can get my adrenaline to where it needs to be, and then I can think. But I can't think in the heat of the moment. That's what your body is saying to you. You can't think. So you're saying to them, back away. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. How about that for being different shift of perception? Because you...
I'm telling my boss.
Okay. Well, I will share with you how to do that. You don't do it in the heat of the moment. So I'm going to go back, trying to tell your boss. Let's deal with that one. First of all, you know, I know that it isn't accepted and all of the rules and all the everything, but honey, it's who you are. And when it comes up that way, you're trapped. You are feeling trapped. And what happens when we're trapped? We're going to react, sweetie.
And I told him that, you know, I said, if someone comes up to me, I'm going to react. And I said, it's after the fact that I noticed it. And he understood.
Absolutely.
He listened, but it's just tough, you know.
But he needs to stop pushing your buttons, honey.
Oh, he wasn't. It was somebody else. But he came.
But he's pushing your buttons by telling you what you should do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he is. Now, his intent isn't in that heat of the moment. So one of the things is that I will tell you, you make decisions based on them feeling right. Anytime you have to be accountable or make a decision on the spot where it doesn't feel right, you're going to have a reaction. You need to have time based on the way you decision make to be able to think things through. When you go to your boss, the part is that you make decisions based on emotion. The gift of that to your boss and to your team is the fact that you just don't go based on logic that sometimes can repeat the problem. So you are a wonderful tool to the team. Even though others may see you emotionally high maintenance, it doesn't make any difference. That's their problem. But you bring a lot to the team. But with your boss, talk about your qualities that you really bring to the team, the things that you're really good at and so forth. And then those are what you talk to your boss about. It takes a reinforcement because your boss makes decisions based on logic, it feels like. And when you get emotional, then that doesn't compute. You're going to use emotional words. So you can actually set your, you know, tone with your voice from your voice and what you say to your boss. That focus on the positives and focus on what you bring to the team and that you, this is how you make decisions. I mean, what am I going to do? Take your heart out and give you a lobotomy, honey? Seriously, Joellen.
I totally get what you say. It's just, you know, right or left, left brain thinkers in this office just don't think that way. And
well, honey, if the...
What I was kind of wondering is, am I really following my passion? And I guess...
Oh, yes, you're following your passion. Are you doing what you want to do the rest of your life? No. Are you following your passion? Absolutely. Because you're an advocate for, it feels like, teamwork, justice, people being able to get along, being able to be a productive, coexistent, kind of this oneness thing. Those are the things I'm picking up with you. Now, you're doing that in your work. It's just in your work, you're not surrounded by people that even can decode, because of their personality and neurology, what you're saying. Are you in the right place as far as your passion? Absolutely. Are you in the right job? You're still questioning that. The jury's still out on that one. Something changed in the last 30, 35 days that you're really questioning where you are, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. And it's so funny that you said about the whole justice and teamwork, because that's what the argument was about yesterday.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And you, that when I say you're following your passion, that is your passion, honey. Mm-hmm. You understand that not everybody can get along. But you also have this perception that, you know, maybe we see things differently, but that doesn't mean that we have to cause harm or hurt feelings in the process of discussing our differences. And so that's what you're about. That's your passion. Now, if you're in an environment where there's no value placed on that, what you bring to the table, that's where you are right now.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, can you stay healthy in this environment? And I think your boss could be this liaison, but I think that it is your responsibility to say to your boss, as you're doing, to continue to reinforce it, that I am just different. I'm not better. I'm just different. And then this is what I do bring to the team, and I am team focused and so forth, and I can't think logically on my feet like they do, because that's not how I make decisions. Those are all conversations that you could look at. I'm not trying to sell books, but I'm going to offer you something, sweetie. I have a book out called Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do with It. You can purchase it through hayhouse.com or amazon.com. It has a personality assessment in there. I would encourage you to take it. Once you start looking at the different four different personality colors, you're going to find your boss, and you're going to find the one person on your team that's your real enigma. And then in this, you're going to see how they see the world versus how you see the world. Now, does that mean you have to change? No. Are they going to change? Probably not. But it may offer you enough of a perception that you can open up lines of communication with them. I have do's and don'ts. I have how people look at goal setting and productivity and teams and so forth, leadership, all these things. You might just find that of value. And my sense is that the first thing it'll do is it'll help you accept who you are. And second of all, it will help you find the answer whether you want to stay or not, sweetie. Because it takes a lot of effort. I do too. I just don't think that you've had enough time to really think about it. I know what your heart's saying. And now it's just taking the time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sweet.
It's just a matter of figuring out what do I do next. So that, you know, here is
absolutely
learning, but I don't know what I'm going to do next.
Well, take what you're doing and look at what you've learned. What skills, what have you learned about human behavior? What have you learned from this job? And then build off of that. Because I know that you've learned a lot from it. And I know that you're not in the wrong place at the wrong time. I know that this was a stepping stone. And one of the things I can also tell you about you, Joellen, you never run away from anything, honey. And until you get clarity, even the slightest clarity to build off of, to know where you're going to go, you're not going to go anywhere, sweetie. So just stay there, because you're not a quitter.
So my job is safe, even after yesterday.
I believe that if you go in and have the conversation, I believe your job is safe.
Okay.
The person that's your kind of enigma, as I call it, that's not the person that's going to be the decision maker. You need to go talk to your boss, sweetheart. Very good.
Thank you.
That's
so
who
much,
you
girl.
Are. That's that anger comes in and says, I'm trapped. I need out. Back off. Get out of my face. That's what it is, honey.
Yeah.
So, but they really, you really did get compromised yesterday. I can still feel it in your lower back and in your gut.
Yeah.
And so it was very real.
Well,
all right. Thanks.
So
thanks. Oh, Joellen, thank you, sweetie. And I know that what we talked about is going to be of value to so many other people. So thank you for calling, sweetie. Well, all of you, please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back. I want to do a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to be doing more calls. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Now is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Well, thank you for joining me today. And if you are just joining me, today is a Conversations with Carol Day. And what that means is I'm going to be taking calls the entire show and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. I always love to spend time and chatting and sharing my medical intuitive skills. We can talk about health. We can talk about careers. We can talk about relationships. It's just kind of an open-ended show. So again, that number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and then also for international callers. So what I'm going to do is I've just left the show in the first segment taking calls, so let's jump right in. Hi, Sharon from New York, line two. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've talked to you before, and I felt like that it was a good idea to call you back.
Good.
Not that I'm feeling addicted to getting advice or anything. I just feel that I really resonate with what you're talking about. And my question is about mercury or heavy metals. Is that something you can detect? And
I can.
And how do you see it, and maybe how to get rid of it?
Okay, I can do all that. And thank you for coming back, because one of the things I always tell people is that, you know, that isn't a Carol addiction. I kind of would like that, but it really isn't, sweetie. Sometimes we just need a pulse check. So, okay, so going in, let me ask a question first of all, typical of my personality. Have you had a hair follicle test done, honey?
No.
Okay, one of the things is that you might want to seek out someone in your area that can do a hair follicle test, because what they'll be able to do is they'll be able, through the hair follicles, to be able to actually identify the heavy metals that you have in your body that's actually in your system. There is a presence of mercury, but there's something that's different. Most people will have lead. I do believe you have a little bit. I can pick up more that you have mercury, and interesting enough, it feels like, I think they call it cadmium. It's a nickel product that I can pick up. When you were a child, did you live someplace to where there were electrical plants or battery shops or anything like that? Because you've got a high level of nickel in your system as well.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But I could have eaten a battery, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was that, but one of the things, those are the things that I'm picking up. So I've got mercury, and I've got nickel, and then I've got lead, exactly in that order. And then one of the things that also, when you identify the type of heavy metals that your body is holding, because the body has a difficult time getting rid of these heavy metals, they're literally called heavy for a reason in the physical body, because it has a difficult time getting rid of it. And so what you can do is, they're working with a practitioner, they could help you maybe where you do some chelation, where you're going to actually do some cleansing. One of the things that would be very helpful is for you to do some liver cleansing, because the heavy metal residue I find as a medical intuitive, I find it in the liver. I also find the residue in the kidneys, and I also find the residue in the spleen itself tied to the immune system. So if you were to go liver, and then you were to go kidneys and spleen, you're going to see that it's in that third chakra, solar plexus area of the body, that we tend to find it. Now, one of the things with mercury is I also find the residual of mercury in the brain itself. I do tend to find nickel in the brain even more than I find with mercury. Now, I'm telling you where I'm picking these up, but I'm going to go back and tell you, honey, that you're not in danger with any of it. It would just be to your best advantage, especially in the brain part, to be able to see how can we cleanse the body to be able to get you back. It feels like you've been experiencing some kind of cognitive fuzziness. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I'm also perimenopausal, so I thought that might be the cause. But I'm also wondering, is it from my teeth?
It is.
Okay.
That's the main place with the mercury itself, is the teeth.
Okay.
And so there's things that, you know, a lot of holistic dentists will say, you know, go in and get the mercury taken out. There's others that'll say that you don't really have to do that if you do different kinds of cleanses on a somewhat regular basis. And again, the practitioner is more skilled at that than I am. You do have the dynamics with the hormonal changes. But my sense is that some of this kind of fuzziness, and it isn't memory loss, but it's a fuzziness that I'm picking up, really happened before you were in the perimenopausal stage. I can pick up 32, 33 years old that you started kind of feeling like you weren't clear in your thinking. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my sense is it just has this buildup of different toxins. And if you would think of the heavy metals more as toxins and look at them that way, then what you can do is find ways to be able to help you remove the toxins through the body. The thing that I find is that it's difficult to cleanse the body with heavy metals through the pores of the skin. We either have to do it through breath or through the mouth, which is when we get rid of the fillings, or what we do is we have to work with the kidneys to be able to literally secrete it out through the urine. So those are some of the things. And so just for you to look at. But what I would do is I would really go and seek out a hair follicle test. That's the most of, I found, some people do saliva, but I found the hair follicles, and know what you're really working with, honey. And then that will help you not only know what you're working with, it's going to help you know the levels, and then that can help you figure out what kind of treatments that you want to look at, whether it's removing the fillings or whether it's looking at cleanses and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I should treat before I look into thyroid.
Well, in my world, the thyroid and the liver are directly connected energetically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The thyroid is...
Because you didn't say third chakra.
Yeah. The thyroid that I'm picking up, you do feel like you're on the low scale. But, you know, honey, it feels like it's been bouncing around for about the last 8 months, maybe to a year. I think that's tied a lot more to the perimenopause than
okay.
I'm picking up that we have a thyroid problem.
Okay. Okay, so not so much the thyroid as it is the perimenopause.
Yeah, I just feel, you know, one of the things, Dr. Christiane Northrup has a wonderful book called The Wisdom of Menopause. And in the book, she talks to the fact that when the hormones start flopping back and forth and figuring out, you know, kind of like the old Abbott and Costello comedy, who's on first, who's on second. We don't know if progesterone or estrogen is going to win at any point in time. It isn't unusual for the thyroid to go into a low state, and then it kind of kicks itself in the bottom, puts it back into normal, may go a little bit hyper, goes back to hypo. So you can find out some of the things that you'll experience in perimenopause and menopause in the book. It's an outstanding book. It answers a lot of questions that, you know, all of us as women have as we go through those different stages.
Okay.
So, but again, nothing that I'm picking up is, you know, dangerously high. It's just that what you're doing is you're getting the combination things and you just are looking to tackle it from a holism, meaning many different ways than just one way. So that's what it feels like.
Okay. And just a clarification, mm-hmm. too. You mentioned the 32, 33 age. That's when I started taking antidepressants and stuff. Do they have metals in them by any chance?
No, they usually do not have metals in them. But what they do is they do change the dynamics between the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the thyroid, the liver, the adrenals, and the spleen.
Wow.
So, you know, it isn't, they're not bad. The body needs them. I'm not anti-medicine. There's times that, you know, we just can't get out of our way. We can't put ourselves back into a rhythm, and that's what they do. But they do, over the course of time, they can change the dynamics and the communication between those different organs and glands. And if you have the presence of metals in the body, which most of us frankly do, then what it can do is it can compound the problem by the presence of the heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
All
okay,
right.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks again, and I appreciate the pulse check on it, Sharon.
Okay.
All right. Hi, let's do Debbie from Utah. Hi, Debbie.
I need you to look at my cardiovascular system. It seems funny that you talked about that. I've got some problems going on in my neck, right behind my jaw, maybe some inflammation, but I can, when, you know, I feel I can hear the blood up into my head, into my mm-hmm. ear, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me go.
I've also got a vibration that's been, it started below my pubic bone, but it's rotating between the left and the right side of my chest. I thought it was just the muscles, but it's interesting that it, you know, I don't know whether my reflex, or, you know, pain in my chest, or if I've got some cardiovascular problems there, but I've definitely got inflammation behind my jaw. Like my jaw is right. Like, maybe my jaw is rubbing in there from talking too much.
Oh, honey, you just came on this earth with a lot to say. So let's shift the perception of that one. All right. So let me, the first thing I did is I went to your heart and I looked around the heart itself. This is a real woo-woo part of Carol where I can kind of get it in your body. And I'm looking at the muscle structure itself. I'm looking at the mitral valve, the pulmonary aorta valve, I'm not finding anything with the heart.
Oh, great, because my dad has heart disease, and he thought that his, you know, he thought he had reflux, and then he ended up having a heart attack, and he had a whole bunch of blockages in his heart, and so.
Yeah, I'm not picking that up in you, honey. I'm not picking up any aneurysms. Have you gone to see a cardiologist? If they went in and did an echocardiogram, everything's going to sound fine.
Oh, okay. Well, they're just asking me about, they want to do more tests on the side of my head because I went to the ear doctor to get my ears cleaned out.
Right.
And he said that I have the pulsing in my ears. And I said, well, I've been getting this swooshing every once in a while. And then I started noticing when I put my hand in certain places over, you know, that, what is it, carotid artery?
Your carotid artery, that's correct.
Yeah, and up right behind my jaw, and there seems to be some inflammation in there, and I would get this
Right. So when we go in, I'm going to go through and we're going to kind of isolate it, and I think that will help you. So when I go to the heart, I'm not picking up anything in the heart that looks abnormal. When I go to the aortas and looking at them, going to the descending aorta, I don't have a lot of calcification or plaque buildup, as they call it. So we don't have anything there that's creating a blockage, little bit of inflammation, but that feels like it's tied to something completely different. I'll go back to that one. Carotid arteries. I am looking. I am not finding inflammation in the, let's see, can I do that? Yes. I'm not finding inflammation per se in the blood itself that would affect the arteries itself, including the carotid artery. But I am going to tell you that I do have a low-grade infection in your body tied to a tooth.
Okay, I kept telling the dentist when I went the other day, that vein goes right across the jaw there, and I said, have I got an infection that's come from the jaw? And he took x-rays, and he keeps telling me every year that I'm fine, no cavities, but I get pain sometimes when I floss down in that right side.
Right. Now, I can actually, everything I'm picking up with you, sweetie, I'm going to take it a little bit different. Everything I'm picking up with you has more to do with nerves and electrical system.
Okay. Yeah, empathic stuff.
Yeah. Well, it does that, but it's also what I'm picking up is that what you're experiencing, I'm going to go back and keep working with the carotid artery to find out why we're getting the swishing, because that I'm not finding anything that could create that swishing. So I'll go back to that one. But one of the things I can tell you is that your atlas is off, cervical vertebrae 1. Is off, and that's putting pressure on the occiput just below the ears itself. That's causing the jaw to be misaligned, both right and left side. My sense is the sensitivity that I'm picking up in the tooth is a jaw misalignment. It's not TMJ, but it is the jaw. See if I can do this. Go back into your skin on this. Left side, I can actually get a hinge sloppiness. I don't know if that makes sense to you. If you go back and forth, I can feel a sloppiness there. It may be that it's causing a grinding of the teeth that's causing the inflammation. But I do have a mild grade infection, so I don't know if it has, it's tied to gums. It's tied to the gum. Da-da-da.
And see, and I can't get anybody to address it. And then if I take the antibiotics, then my candida gets worse. And I'm just trying to start working on that.
Does. So let's go. Okay, so now we're narrowing it down. Candida, not present at the moment.
Oh, how did I get rid of that from a whole month? I didn't even start on the antibiotics. Am I pulling the energy from the
Nope, what you're doing is you're actually feeding your body different. You're feeding it thoughts, but you're also feeding it different. You're not eating as acidic as you normally do. You're not saying as acidic things to you. You know, sweetie, I go ahead with the carotid artery. Have it checked out just to get your mind at ease.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not picking up anything in the carotid artery, honey, that is showing that we're having, you know, any kind of severe blockage or anything that way. The swish, I can't connect that where, you know, if you went a swish and we use like a rush in the electrical system, I can see where that could be, but I can't literally see where the blood gets blocked anywhere in the carotid artery or in the heart itself, and then all of a sudden the heart works harder and then just pushes it up like a rope upstream. I just can't pick up any of that, sweetie.
Okay. It just seems to be kind of a soreness up there behind the jaw.
Well, there is a soreness there. That's true.
That's the infection.
I think that has to do with muscular.
Okay.
I think that's part of that atlas being off, cervical vertebrae.
What do I do C1. About that? Do I go for cranial on that or something?
Cranial would help. Oh, cranial would be absolutely wonderful because what it'll do is it'll help the cerebral spinal fluid. It'll also help the vagus nerve number 10 down into the digestive tract area that animates the lungs, the heart, and the stomach.
I mean, I was going to say, I need to let you go, but I didn't mean antibiotics. I got some homeopathics for the candida and some other things that I can do, but I also discharged a whole bunch of self-hatred from my bones.
Right.
Is that helping the candida, probably?
It is.
Oh, cool.
I know you have a predisposition. I mean, I can feel it in your skin and in your gut, but right now I don't have it active.
Okay, well, I'll have them maybe do a sonogram or something or find some way for them to check that, you think? Double check.
Absolutely.
That.
And the main reason, honey, is just so your mind will stop fixating on not being able to get the information it needs. Start checking things off your list that are concerned to you, and that will help you restabilize. So the homeopathic antibiotics.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to say antibiotics. They're homeopathics that I bought for candida.
Right. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
This one?
So what we need to do, we need
it's
to figure out.
It's not tested anymore. That's weird.
Do what?
I bought all of these homeopathics and they're not tested. Well, that one is. They're muscle testing. That one's testing. Because I didn't know which ones to get until they came. And that one's testing.
Good.
But this series treatment, I can't pick up on that. Oh, yeah, I can in other parts of my body. Not up in
right.
In the lower parts of my body.
So try that, sweetie, and go in and do some testing to see what you can do from a homeopathic remedy with a very low-grade infection. That's what's causing that low-grade inflammation that you're experiencing.
I see what you're saying. That's a good idea.
Yep.
All right.
Good.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. You're welcome, sweetie. You know, this is easy work when I have somebody that just does their own work. This is a piece of cake. I love you. Thank you, sweetheart. All right, let's jump in. I want to try to get Kathy from Seattle before I have to go off the air. Hi, Kathy. How can I help you? Honey, are you on a cell phone in a car? I'm getting all kinds of static, Kathy. I'm so apologetic. I can't. Yep, I couldn't hear you, honey, at all from that. So. Again, my apologies to not be able to do that, but couldn't hear. You know, I can be intuitive, but I need to hear also. So anyway, I hope that all of you are really kind of enjoying where the energy is right now. I'm going to close the show out with that. talking a little bit. We talked about starting the show about words and energy and attractants and so forth. But one of the things I want to close the show out is that we actually are in a place in this transition time where we're in movement. And that movement means that we have to be aware that we're in movement. Fortunately, most of us in our humanness has to have it so blatantly in our face that we know that we're actually moving forward. If it isn't something that kind of hits us between the eyes, then what's going to happen is we feel like we're stuck. But we actually entered into this transition time. 2010 was all about resolve. It was about revisiting the things that weren't working, moving into action. Again, this awareness in action, consciousness in action. And then what we did is then we started going in and letting things go. We entered 2011 into that. And then March 18th, we hit this lull. And we are moving along. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I don't know what just happened. I was moving along, and now I'm not moving along, it seems, at all. But what we did is on May 25th, we actually entered into the movement again. The movement is picking up its momentum. Things that have any kind of weakness associated with it, whether it's emotions or an appliance or something in our yard or thoughts that we have or people in our lives, whatever it may be, anything that has a weakness about it, what I've been finding in my readings and working with people is they tend to be breaking. And they aren't breaking because we didn't keep them up. They're just breaking to let us know that in order for those weaknesses to be fixed, we have to be in action and take care of them and be in charge. So we're into this movement right now. It's going to go until July 25th, and then there's going to be a natural rhythm and flow. We have another attunement that's taking place the end of October. But the one thing that I can tell you is the movement we're in now, I use this metaphor a lot when I've been doing my readings this last month, is this movement is kind of like standing on a bank and looking across a big river. And on the surface, that river looks really, really smooth. And we look at it and we think, well, I can go from one side to the other because it's really smooth. We put our toe in the water, which is all this awareness. Do we really want to resolve this, finally let it go? Do we want to move in the direction that we truly desire, find our passion, whatever it is? We put our toe in the water. And then what we do is we say, okay, well, it's not too cold. I'm going to jump in. We jump in, and where we've been is we've jumped in, and all of a sudden we've realized, oh, there's a current here. And then we're trying to figure out how to get out. The metaphor of things breaking is that we're trying to figure out how to fix what has been broken, how to be able to get out of the rivers that we're in, the flow, the change, the move, whatever it may be. All metaphors in my world. And what we do is we swim to the shore and we're kind of sitting there kind of smugly thinking, wow, this is really great. I was able to get in, get out without any problem. And then we find ourselves getting back into the river again, but this time using awareness and our intuition. What we're doing is we're thinking, you know, last time it really was a lot of energy. It was really difficult. I had to work really hard to be able to keep my head above water, whatever metaphor. And now what we're doing is we're building our own raft. And now we're in the raft, and that's where we're headed in July 25th. We're actually in the raft floating down this river. But somewhere in about the next week, the 1st of July, all of a sudden we're going to be laying there in the sun going down the river in our raft, and we're going to poke our head up, and we're going to go, where am I? Am I headed in the right direction? Well, I'm still on the river. Did I pass up my destination? What am I going to do about that? Do I need to paddle upstream? Well, you know how difficult that can be. Or do I just allow my awareness, my intuition, listen to what the words that I use and what I say to myself, and that just trust whenever I get to the other side and I get off of this raft, then I will be exactly where I am meant to be. That's the energy. That is where we are. You're not stuck. There's movement. There's current. There's activity that's going on. The only time I find as a medical intuitive that we do tend to believe or to think we are stuck is when we say things that truly are not in alignment with who we are. We get into the coulda, shoulda, woulda process, and then we find ourselves thinking we're mentally stuck. But again, thinking in the terms of words, just shifting them around, words or energy, using your intuition, allowing your inner guidance to help you find your way, using the metaphor of the movement, water, change, using the energy of all the energy shift that we're in now and this movement going forward. If you can think of all those things or just even a little minute part, and the next time you get into a place where you feel stuck, just take a deep breath and let go. What a great way to end this show. Thank you all, everyone, for the calls. It's been absolutely wonderful. This show will be actually posted in the archives on my website, www.britberger.com. Thanks again for joining me. You have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next Wednesday on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to the Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.